Good morning. Let me ask you to open your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I think we've heard the concept before that you become what you think often. You become what you think. You've heard the phrase, I think I am, I think I can, or all that kind of stuff. It's important what we think and how we think. And here the Hebrew writer is telling us that the kind of thinking that God desires for each and every one of us. And I'd like us to consider that this morning, the kind of thoughts that we have. In Hebrews chapter 13, beginning of verse 1, he says, let brotherly love continue. Do not be forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with things such as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now please note in verse 5, let your conversation be without what? Covetousness. Now that word conversation there literally means how you live your life. Let your life be without covetousness. Be content with the things that you have. And then verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So as he sums that up, I don't need to fear what man can do to me. Now, yesterday I had an interesting conversation about all the things that are taking place in the world today. Are a lot of things happening in the world today? Yes. And I was concerned because I'm very much aware of some things that are taking place. And again, we as Christians, should we have any fear whatsoever about what can happen to us in the body? No. But we can see what's happening in the world. We've got two major wars going on. We have a lot of things happening in our own country. But yet as Christians, look at verse 6 again. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he kind of summarizes here in verse 9 and the following verses. Be not carried away with diverse strange doctrines, for it is good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have occupied therein. We have an altar. And then he explains that, what he means. Well, they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So here it's talking about what Jesus did for each and every one of us. Then look at verse 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We seek one to come. Think about that. Is the Lord coming? Yes, he is. And there's a phrase I remember, prepare to meet thy what? Prepare to meet thy God. That is each person's individual responsibility to be prepared. So we seek one to come. Then verse 15, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. The sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This morning, Did you give thanks to God? Did you give thanks to God? And that's an important understanding. Again, because what we think affects what we do, doesn't it? There's a man, he was driving in the country, he got a flat tire. He said, oh great, just what I wanted. You ever get a flat tire? I got one on Monday, completely unexpected. So it changed all our plans. So he got out to change the tire, and he found out that his jack was broken. He couldn't do it. He says, oh great, just what I need. And then what had been a perfectly good morning until then, all of a sudden, everything's changed. He's got a flat tire. And what happened to his frame of mind? Was he still all happy and ready? No. Now he's got to deal with these issues. Does that ever happen to us? Something happens, not as we planned, then all of a sudden we got to deal with all these different things that are taking place. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Again, our thoughts affect what we do, what we say, and who we are. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Read that verse again. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Now, just like our friend with a flat tire, we can start to get worry about things, we can get angry, we can get sad, we can get lonely, we can get depressed if we let those things happen. Ever been in those moods, angry and sad and anxious? Those things can happen very quickly. But also, our thoughts can help us to be happy, to be expectant, to be peaceful, and to be thankful. And that's exactly what God wants us to be. To be at peace, and to be thankful, no matter what kind of conditions we find ourselves in. Let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 13 again. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Again, this thought, and I'd like us to really focus on this, about how we think and what we think. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 again, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Are we content? I see you shaking your head. Are we content? But what does the Bible say there? It says, be content with such things as you have. No matter what your situation is, God wants you to be content. Why? For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Again, the idea is what is truly important in this life. What is truly important? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Again, the same kind of idea. And I'd like you to think, are you content with what you have? Again, with the idea that the Lord says he will never leave us nor forsake us. And here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be what? To be content. And that's the important thing. The Lord will never leave us or what? Forsake us. He will always provide the things that we need. Not what we want necessarily, but the things that we need. So contentment can be learned. And again, we need to make sure that we are always content with whatever our situation is. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Because we can find examples of people who are not content with their situations. In Numbers chapter 11, beginning in verse 4, now the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, we shall give up flesh to eat. We remember the fish which we did in Egypt, eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried up. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Were they content with what God provided them? No. Now let's think about Israel. In Egypt, what was their condition? They were slaves. And they were commanded to kill the children. That's an awful situation. Think about that. Can that happen in our country? Can they start to command that you're going to kill your firstborn or all the male children be put to death? Can that be done? Yes, it can. It can. So again, we need to think about this awful situation, and now God is providing them, but what do they start doing? They start complaining and complaining. Turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, verse 2. Again, God wants us to be content with whatever situation we find ourselves in. Why? Because he will never leave us nor forsake us. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherewith hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children shall be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? What are they doing again? They're complaining. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read about the horrible conditions in Egypt, that's not something I want to go back to. But because of some discomfort or some things taking place, what happens? Their mindset is, it was better for us back there. At least we had some cucumbers and some melons, right? Now back to this man who got that flat tire. He remembered, he saw a farmhouse a couple miles back up the road. And he thought, surely this farmer will have some equipment. He'd have a jack so he could fix his tire. Surely he could find somebody to help him. You know, when things go wrong in this life, when things go wrong, and they will, wouldn't it be nice to have somebody that we can turn to help us? Wouldn't that be nice? I see some head shaking, yes. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Because our thinking, once again, what we think can help us always to be content in whatever situation we find ourselves in. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So when something good happens in our life, who gets the credit when something good happens? Is it luck? Is it fortune? Is it chance? Was it your own self-effort? I did this. Look at me what I did. Look how good I am. Was it the horoscope? Did I say that right? Horoscope? The psychedelic hotline, the Ouija board? Some people probably don't know what a Ouija board is. And tarot cards. No, when something good happens, who do we give credit to? To our Lord. Again, to be content with whatever state we find ourselves in. Give him the thanks. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. And it says here, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? So whenever we receive something, who's it from? It's from our God. Is there a God? Does God exist? Yes, he does. And again, that came up a little bit in the classes where there are people who do not believe in God. Do you believe that? There are people who do not believe in God. Yesterday, I was outside and all of a sudden this insect landed right there in the leaf behind, in front of me. You know what a dragonfly is? I've never seen a dragonfly land right in front of me on a leaf like that. And then another one landed in front of him. There's two of them. I'm looking at the dragonflies. And I'd say, where did those dragonflies come from? By accident, right? They evolved. Is that what happened? There's a reason for dragonflies. And I remember when I was in high school, I was walking out in the woods with a young lady and we're holding hands, and all of a sudden these dragonflies came over. And I screamed and hollered. I'd never seen a dragonfly before. And she started laughing at me. I didn't learn until later what the dragonflies were for. They go after, you know, mosquitoes and stuff like that to protect me. But again, my thinking, when the dragonfly came, what happened? I screamed. I was afraid of those dragonflies. So again, what we think affects us greatly. Let's turn now to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. Because the Bible makes it clear about who the source of all our blessings is. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, and let's read this carefully, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? From above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. Every perfect gift comes from above. Let's turn to Job chapter 12. Excuse me, Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, verse 21. And again, we know Job, a lot of things happened. He lost his kids. He lost a lot of things. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, when these things took place, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's his attitude, isn't it? All these horrible things happen to him, but he turns to God in prayer. Isn't that what we should do? Be content with what? Whatever your situation, be content. Be thankful. Turn to God. Give him all the praise. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. If we are not thankful, what we're doing is we're putting God out of our lives if we are not thankful. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were what? Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So what they were doing in essence is they were shoving God aside, and instead of giving God the credit, who were they giving the credit for things? Themselves. Look at what I did. Look at what I can do. So if they don't think it's God blessing them, then they have no reason to thank him. If they don't take into account that God is the one who gives us those things that we need, then why do they have any need to acknowledge him in their lives? Again, God has blessed us in so many different ways, and we need to be thankful to him. There's a story about a young doctor, and he was very kind-hearted. He wanted to help those people that he could. And there was a patient, a young mother, who wasn't responding to the treatment. So he went to her home and discovered that she had not enough money to get the prescription that he had given her. So what did he do? He went out and bought the prescription himself, and he came back and gave it to her. A week later, he came back, the daughter opened the door. He says, you don't have, where's your mom today? Well, she's gone. You know, she took what you gave her, and she sold it, and she got the money to go see a real doctor. Was she grateful for what he did for her? No. She was not grateful at all. That man, again, who had the flat tire, he got to the farmhouse, and remember, he's had a rough day, and he's starting to think, nobody knows me here. This man probably's not going to want to loan me a check. Maybe I'll have to offer him $5 for a deposit. Or maybe he'll take $10, or maybe $20. To be realistic, he thought, maybe he won't even loan me the jack, so maybe I have to offer to buy it. Maybe around $40. And he said, maybe he won't take $40, maybe he will take $50. And then he was so worked up, he says, maybe he won't even take 50. So he went on over there, knocked on the window, and shouted into the house. He said, you won't take $100 for this, Jack, will you? Think about this, okay? And he walked off. Now, he worked himself into what? A frenzy. And then he shouts into this house. He doesn't even know anybody's there. You won't even take $100. Do you know people like that? I know people like that. They get angry and they start shouting like that, not giving it any thought. Let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Again, we need, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, to turn to our God and depend on Him and be thankful. Find ways to express thanks. Now, I don't know about you, but when somebody says thank you, that really affects me. Does it affect you? Thank you says a lot. And we should be saying that a lot to each other. Thank you. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, Hebrews 13 verse 15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. How often? Continually giving thanks to His name. Now, we express our feelings, whether we know it or not, almost automatically we express our feelings. We express our love and our affection to our children. And we can express anger if we're not careful, can't we? Came up in class, be angry and what? Sin not. Be angry and sin not. Now, we can express when we're frustrated. We can express our opinions on sports. I won't do it now. And politics. And when we think about expressing our feelings, we need to make sure that we are careful how we do that, don't we? Careful how we express it. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. So we might not even feel grateful. Think about that. You might not even feel grateful. But that's not what God's asking you. He's saying even if you don't feel grateful, what should you be? You should be grateful and thankful and content with what you have. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks how often? Always. Always. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Again, the same idea. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we got to be careful and make sure that we give thanks. There's another story, a little girl, her uncle visited her. He brought her a special gift, and she ran to show the gift to her mother. And the mother asked, well, did you tell your uncle thank you? She says, oh, no, Mommy. I was so excited, I didn't even think to tell him I was, you know, thank you. Can we be guilty of that? Yes. So again, in Luke's gospel, how many lepers did the Lord heal? 10. How many came back to give Him thanks? 1. We got to be careful about that. There was once a farmer, and he invited a rich relative to come for dinner. And he bowed his head and expressed thanks for the meal. His rich relative said, that's old-fashioned. Nowadays, cultured people don't pray before they eat. And the farmer says, well, there are some at the farm who don't give thanks before they eat. And the relative asked, well, are they your sons? The farmer said, nope, they're my pigs. The rich man and the pigs just don't express thanks. Should we give thanks before we eat? Should we acknowledge our God? Yes, we should. Now back again to that guy with a flat tire. He shouted into the house, "Ah, $100!" You know, he walks away angry. Well, the farmer in the house, he got up and he found out what was going on for the man. He got a jack and he went to help the man fix his tire. Even though he got yelled at in the middle of the night, he went to help him. You know, who's always going to help us when we have a need? Who's always going to help us when we have a need? Our God. He's there. And he wants us to express our gratitude to him for all the blessings that he gives us. Now, we can get grouchy, but even when we're grouchy, he's always going to be generous. We can be angry and upset, but our God is always there. And we need to turn to him and show our thanks to him in every way that we can. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 100, because God wants our thanksgiving. He wants something else, though, more than us just being grateful. Psalms 100 verse 1. Psalm 100 verse 1. He wants us to be, or show our thankfulness, but something else he wants us to be too. In Psalm 100 verse 1, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Serve the Lord with what? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations. So again, look at verse 2 again. Serve the Lord with what? With gladness. So again, we need to be thankful, and we need to do it with gladness. Well, the lesson is yours this morning. Again, the emphasis on how we think and what we do. And our God is a generous God. He's a loving God. He's done so much for each and every one of us. If there's someone here this morning who has not yet obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to take that step while you have an opportunity. Are we guaranteed our next breath? No, we're not. How many people died in this last hurricane? Over 200 now, the numbers I see. And we got something coming our way right now. All right? Things can happen like that. So prepare to meet thy what? Prepare to meet thy God. Be prepared. If you're here this morning and not going to be in the gospel, please make that decision to do so. If you need the prayer of this congregation, come forward now as we stand and sing this.